If you want to win,
you need four things:
a strategy, a plan, information, and Sports Grid.
Actually, come to think of it,
you really only need Sports Grid. We're already giving you that other stuff. We just call it
the winning edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We got our main man, Doug. We love Doug, even though he's a Michigan State Spartan. It's all right. It's game week this week, though. Big game, too. We're just talking about Michigan and Michigan State. This game, biggest game, whatever, man. It's been the biggest game since 1964. Biggest game since 1964 in this epic rivalry. And there's a lot of good call. Listen, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Like, people talk about Michigan and Ohio State and stuff, but if you don't know, you don't know. Michigan and Michigan State, it's nastier. Like, it's Michigan and Ohio State, there's actually somewhat of a respect. You know what I mean? Michigan and Michigan State, sort of gentlemanly. It's too old school. Like, Bo and Woody liked each other. You know what I mean? It was like, it's different. It's different. It's their rivals, but it's different. Like, even, like, the San Francisco Giants and the Dodgers, there's a level of respect and stuff, right? It's gentlemanly. It's, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but Michigan and Michigan State's not. Like, they don't like each other for real, real. Like, it's nasty. Like, dude, like, trust me. Like, I don't know. Like, unless you're a Wolverine or a Spartan fan, like, I'm trying to explain to people this, that people, like, don't realize, like, oh, yeah, like, no. Like, they hate each other. Michigan State hates Michigan more, right? Because Michigan's the rich school and stuff, the snobbier school, you know what I mean, the stuck-up school. Michigan State's the cooler, wilder, you know, for everybody school in the state. But Michigan are more popular in the state, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, in Detroit and stuff, like, you know, the Michigan Wolverines are the team. But I'm not disputing that, I don't know, you know. What's a good proportion of the state, Doug, that you would say? What's the state? Where's SCOA, Michigan? What's the percentage of, like, because I know, like I said, there's a lot of deep hatred for the Michigan Wolverines. Like, Spartan fans hate Michigan. Like, they hate. Like, it's real hate. You know what I'm saying? It's real hate. The Michigan-Michigan State basketball rivalry is real good. That's the one that it's really, like, the football one, though, and especially ever since Mike Hart called them the little brother and stuff, he said those guys are just little brothers, right? And that really pissed Michigan State off, right? Michigan State had a nice little run for a couple of years, but historically Michigan have owned the series. Like I said, D'Antonio had a nice little run there. So just for the record, what happened when they were both ranked in the top 10 the last time it happened? October the 10th, 1964, seventh-ranked Michigan went to East Lansing to take on the ninth-ranked Michigan State Spartans. Well, a little similarities here. Michigan won the football game 17-10. It cost 30 cents a gallon for gas to get there. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Level 2 has begun. What up, Southern California? The Mighty 1090 joining us. Joining the party on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. The World Series has begun. And the Atlanta Braves continue to play great baseball. The Atlanta Braves are now 3 wins away from a World Series. It's getting real right now, man. You know, it's getting real. And you know, you got to be lucky to be good, good to be lucky. The Atlanta Braves are just timely hitting. Like, if you'll notice, other teams that play the Braves get a bunch of hits and they leave guys in scoring position all the time. The Dodgers were like 4 for 30, I believe the final number was. And you saw it again tonight. right? The Atlanta Braves get runners on, they hit home runs, they steal a base, they score the run, and then they don't score again, whatever. But they put up a bunch of runs. And then the other team, we get a bunch of hits. And you ever notice, too, that the other team, whoever they're playing, the Brewers, the Dodgers, now the Astros, always just hit the ball right at somebody all the time, and they smoke it? Like, how many times did the Houston Astros smoke a ball at someone or, like, hit something, and you're like, oh, that's a single, and no, it's right at somebody? Is that luck, or is it, you know what? The defensive analytics and the defensive shifts that the Atlanta Braves have implied are actually working. And for everything that we complain about modern analytics and baseball, and I've been in the front of the line, man. I'm like Abe Simpson. How come there's no young people on your magazine cover, Dear Modern Bride Magazine, right? And, you know, I can yell at a cloud, man, okay? You know, I can yell at a cloud. And I've been that guy about, come on, man, you got to bunt the runner over. You've got to move the guy over. You've got to, you know, sacrifice him. Lay the bunt, you know, shorten the bat. Small ball wins. It's not true. It's not true. All right, because you see, you got to put runs on the board. That's what it comes down to. And the analytics are right. I mean, the fact of the matter is now teams in the playoffs this year that hit more home runs than the other team have 21 wins to one loss. I mean, do the math. It's pretty simple what this is about. And even all those crazy shifts. But what upsets me, I don't mind the team shifting. What upsets me is, guys, if you keep hitting into the shift, why don't you lay a bloody bunt down? The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team.
Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pencil players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're getting fired up for the big Michigan State game Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox. It would have been in prime time, but I got the World Series, right? They've got the World Series, so Fox is the place to be on Saturday. World Series, Michigan and Michigan State, noon Eastern. I can tell you guys, historically, it's been an underdog series. The road team has usually done well. It sort of has been weird. Michigan have won and covered two of the last three games. Michigan State, though, how about this? You know, like Michigan State have covered a lot, but it was under the D'Antonio regime. He had a nice little run there. But Michigan have taken two of the last three. It's going to be a hell of a football game. I told you guys as soon as the point spread came out earlier in the week when it was 51.5, the over-under felt a little high to me considering early start time, East Lansing. What's the weather going to be like here? Let's get this quickly here before we bring McInnes in. East Lansing. I feel like I did this already, and I forget the weather. I already looked earlier in the week. God, I look at a lot of different weather reports. Oh, man, I'm like a freaking meteorologist. Oh, yeah, raining. So it's going to be 54 degrees, raining, 10-mile-an-hour winds. Perfect Big Ten football weather. I think of Michigan and Michigan State, and I just think of rain. They're always playing in the rain. It's always dark, dreary, windy, and rainy when they play, right? And I tell you what, both teams have a good ground game. It's going to come down. This game's going to come down to turnovers. I'll tell you that right now. It's very simple. Both teams can run the football. Both teams can stop the run. Who's going to be able to stop each other's ground attack? And who's going to be the poor son of a bitch that's going to be, you know, the guy, the loser that fumbles the ball and costs his team the game? That's what this thing's going to come down to. Let's bring in Andrew McInnes right now. Wager talk. And it's actually a pretty good time when McInnes joins us because literally as he joins us right now, I see hockey highlights, ice hockey. as people like to call it. I see some ice hockey highlights of the Montreal Canadiens and the Seattle Kraken as the Kraken win their first ever home game. They lost their season debut against the Vancouver Canucks. They win tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Andrew McInnes joins us. He's a Montreal Canadian fan. What's going on, McInnes? How you doing?
What's up, Gabe? I'd be lying to you if I said I was doing great. I'm doing so-so, I'll say that.
You're not a happy Canadiens fan? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not a happy Canadiens fan, but not a happy bettor right now, honestly. Just not in a good mood betting-wise. Hoping for a good pick me up on the show with you. We'll find some winners for the future.
Yeah, okay.
Have some good
luck. All right, we don't want to dwell on a negative, but what league did you win tonight? What sport? Like, I lost the World Series bets, but I hit some props in there, so I'm not going to panic about it. But I did lose the side, and I lost the total. What did you win tonight?
No, I've been moving to low volume over the past couple of days. I had the Habs game over, so that was nice. I had Tampa, but biggest play on the night was that Canucks Wild game over 5.5. Several chances, you know, a couple of dead spots, but couldn't get there with it. I had the Astros on the money line, so that I was 10-0 to start the MLB playoffs. Now moves to 11-3. So it was you know, a really, really disappointing night, honestly. Happy that Habs game over hit, because first of all, just happy to make, you know, to make some money, but also makes that loss on my Canadians feel a little bit better. So, you know, it's fun to come on here with you and celebrate some wins and tell you about a great record I'm on and this and that, but I think it wouldn't be me being honest if I didn't come in here and complain a little bit here sometimes every now and then.
Yeah, well, I got to be honest with you, too. I didn't have the greatest night. I'm looking right now. I thought I did better, McInnes. Now I'm depressed. Like, I swear to God. No, I was sitting here. I never hit refresh on my account. I just sort of, I'm like, you know, let me check in on my business here. You're talking. I just sort of hit refresh. I just hit refresh, and I'm like, oh, my God, man. It's a little lower and lighter than I wanted. Like, man, where did I go wrong? All right, I had the under 6.5 in the I laid juice. That total was all over the place, that Minnesota Vancouver one, because I had under 6.5, but I had it at -155, under 6.5. So I hit that. I was on the Seattle Kraken to win. Should have loaded up on a Kraken. I knew they'd beat the Canadians. All right, I win that. I win the Vancouver Minnesota. I lose the over 9.5 in game baseball. I win the Utah Jazz -7. I win a three-team parlay with the Warriors, Mavericks, and the Jazz. I win the Soler prop. I win the Alvarez prop. I lose Maldonado. I lose the strikeout props. You know, it was a good one I hit. My best bet tonight, I don't know, though. I'm looking at my picks here right now, and I guess I did lose money. Hey, thanks, McInnes.
Hey, I didn't mean to come in here and kill your vibe or anything, but
it's not your fault.
One thing that makes me
mad
these days. One thing that makes me mad these days is that there's nothing worse than having a winning record on the night but losing money.
Oh, that's
like having all these picks that you were like, yeah, I'll toss, like, you know, a little bit of change on it. I'll put this much here. All right, but this one here, this is the one I'm loading up on.
I've done that a few times in the last week, and that's the biggest loser thing you can do, McInnes. And I hate myself when I do it. That's like the walk of shame, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It really is. And I got away from doing it. And I've been, me too, I haven't had a great run. I've sort of got back on track the last few days. But I had like a bad six-day run, McInnes. I'm a Dodger fan. I was losing. My team was going down. I was betting the games. You know what I mean? It just sort of compounded and everything sort of snowballed. I had a good Sunday NFL. And I got back on track Saturday and Sunday. So I'm sort of back on track. But I'm telling you, McInnes, that I've been there, and it's so frustrating. You're right. And even me tonight, I'm looking. I'm like, why did I just lose, like, even any money? I should have, like, at least broken even. And I'm looking because same crap. I'm like, oh, yeah, I put more on that because it was the World Series, right? I was I put, like, and I'm looking now, and I'm like, man, you know, and the whole lesson is here, I don't know how you feel about, like, you know, you're a handicapper, so I don't know you're telling people. But Bano's big on that, and I hate that stuff, like the quarter unit, half unit, this unit, half this, and half that. I always believe if you like a bet, then you bet it.
You bet what you normally bet if you like it. Like if you're only betting something and you don't like it enough that it's only a quarter unit. I'm not calling Babano. Like, I'm just talking about the handicappers. I see their posts.
It's the business.
Half unit on this, half that. No, but I'm just saying, me personally, I've done that. I've been there. And like we all do it even. You know what I mean? I did it tonight. Like I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put $75 on this hockey game. I'm just going to put $75 on the side, $75 on the total. And I got $500 on the baseball game. And I end up winning most of my hockey bets, but I end up losing $300 because, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
exactly.
Like, I feel your pain totally. I'm like, God, you're an idiot when that happens. But the thing is, and I had a great run, McInnes. Like, I'm talking great run for like 6, 7, 8 months type thing. Like, it wasn't a run, it was a change in my approach and discipline and how I did things, McInnes. And you know why I did well? I swear to God, bro, I bet the same damn amount every game.
Yeah.
That was my thing. If you like it, you like it. Put $200 on it. And that's the thing. If you bet $100 a game all the time, bet $100 a game all the time. If you're betting $200, you bet $200. If you're betting $50, bet $50. And I get it, guys. Sometimes there's going to be a game and stuff. And don't worry. There's always going to be an isolated game where you're going to have a chance to put a ton of money and do something stupid. But you'll make more money with that disciplined approach, McInnes. I swear to God, and I'm not a disciplined person.
Gabe. I'm not saying I went crazy on this one.
No, I'm not talking about losing money, that you lost a ton of money, but it's just frustrating losing.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's just be real. None of us like ever having – I don't care about the money. I'm just pissed I had a losing night right now. And I didn't even know until you told me I did. Late night anger management class, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Horse. Why don't you put it in the bank?
Bank? This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency, SiriusXM Channel 204. Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090, Sports Byline Sports, Map Radio, Armed Forces Network. We're kicking it. A lot of stuff to break down, a lot of stuff to get to. We got Andrew McInnes, Wager Talk, in the house with us. Every time I hit refresh, there's a new Green Bay Packer wide receiver out. Now Lazard is out, too, to go along with Devontae Adams for the big Thursday night game, Arizona. We got into it in the late night hours last night at the end of the show, and I actually put the parlay in. I'll share it with you guys in a couple of minutes. We got McInnes with us. So, the baseball game, McInnes, I talked about these numbers. It's crazy, bro. In the playoffs this year, the team that hits more home runs than the other team, 21-1.
Wow.
That's the record. And last year, it was 35-5. So we're talking about...
I'd love to see the growth of that stat, like even the past 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I guarantee it wasn't like that in the old days.
Yeah.
Like, not this, like... Well, I don't know. Home runs are runs, right? So it's kind of, but it's crazy.
Is different.
Yeah. When you isolate it, guys, 35-5 last year, and now 21-1. It's not a trend. It's just a fact. You hit more home runs than the other team, you're going to win the game. And look, you saw tonight early, Atlanta. So it's crazy, because I thought early, I was like, son of a bitch, these guys are lucky. Like Houston line drived one off of Morton, and it bounced right to first base for the out, right? I was like, you can't make that up. But it turns out it fractured his fibula, and it wasn't so lucky. He's out for the rest of the World Series right now. I placed a bet on this series last night. I said the series goes 6 games, so it doesn't matter who wins. I was on Houston tonight with you, but I got a series bet in last night, plus 200, series to go 6 games. And I still think it does. I'm not sure it's going to go 7. The new updated series price right now, the Atlanta Braves minus 155, Astros plus 135. What do you think about the World Series now? Do you think the Braves or Astros are winning after what you saw tonight?
Well, first of all, I like that wager of yours. I remember you and I were looking at those last year in the NHL playoffs, and they're unique wagers, but you can get some good value on it, and you don't really need any specific team to win. So that's what I like about those. But I'm sticking with my guns here. It wasn't the result that I wanted. I was kind of surprised by the way that game started. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why I liked them in game one especially was that I like the experience factor. And I know the Braves have been playing some good ball, but I you know, I don't care if they cheated or anything, because everybody cheats. Okay, the Astros had experience, and they've also beaten teams above 500 or above 600 all year long. And I thought the experience was going to be a huge thing for them to come in confident, and they looked like the team that was nervous, Gabe. And that did concern me a little bit, but I still think that's going to be a factor, and I think they have a group that can move on from this game and bounce back right away.
You know what I find interesting right now? So, yeah, the Astros are plus 135. You know what I love about the baseball playoffs, which is cool, unlike the other playoffs, is how they play like every day pretty much, right? So it's not like, oh, we got to wait 3 days or 2 days for the next game and there's this big buildup. It's like, well, no, we're going to get right back at it tomorrow. All right, we're going to get right back at it. Yeah, we're going to get right back at it tomorrow, and then they'll have a day off, and then they'll be playing then they'll play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if necessary. So, yeah, the Astros are now plus 135. But what I find interesting here, guys, is there's been a big swing now for a lot of the Astro players for most valuable player because they lost tonight, so they dropped a lot. Michael Brantley's now plus 750. He didn't. Duvall was plus 750. Rosario was plus 850. Soler is plus 950. Kyle Tucker's plus 950. Freddie Freeman's 11-1. Austin Riley's 13-1. Altuve's 15. Max Fried's 15. Alvarez is 15. Correa is 17. Ozzy Albies is 15 to 1 right now. I don't think anybody really is head and shoulders above anybody after one game for most valuable player. Soler did start off with that home run. Something to keep your eye on. He's at plus 950 right now. But McInnes, if you have access to this, McInnes, I'm telling you what, this will put a smile. This, you talked about, you know, turning things around. I played this tonight. We hit it. I didn't hit both of them. I hit one of them because I got screwed because Tucker got a double. But stolen base prop, McInnes, okay?
Okay.
Stolen base prop. And in the playoffs this year, they came into tonight. There were 42 stolen base attempts. Runners have been safe on 38 of them. Wow. And one of them, he was safe, but he slid past the bag. Like, he was safe, but he took his, you know what I mean? He beat it, but he was off the bag, and he got tagged after. So, really, they would have been safe 39 times. Travis d'Arnaud, the catcher of the Atlanta Braves, is now 0 for 14 in the playoffs, throwing people out. So, essentially, as long, like, if one of the leadoff, one of the first few dudes get on, bro, for Houston in an inning, they're going to steal the base because they know d'Arnaud cannot throw them out, right? He's 0 for 14, McInnes. He's 0 for 14. And he's been bad like his entire career at throwing people out, and it's even worse now. And they have a bunch of pitchers that aren't good at holding people. So basically, it's a free pass. If you want to steal a base, it's a free pass. And conversely, it's the same thing. Like, yeah, Maldonado's got a good arm, but it's almost impossible to throw these guys out now. So I only played two guys tonight. Ozzy Albies at plus 500 and Kyle Tucker at plus 600 to steal a bag. First inning, McInnes, boom. Albies steals the bag. I win the plus 500 bet in the first inning.
Wow. Great bet. Great bet. And that 0 for 14 is a really good stat. I mean,
yeah, but ironically enough, it was the other team. It was the other team that stole the base that I won the bet with. But you're right. But obviously, yes, the Astros are aware that d'Arnaud can't throw anybody out. They just got to get the guy on base first to do it, right?
I'll say one thing, Gabe. I'm kind of thinking about this now, and I was thinking about it earlier, and a lot of people do this stuff. They just they use the math, and I know you have Merrill on all the time. He's on tonight with you, you know, talking about just grabbing the dog right away. And then, you know, if they win the next time around, you just get the favorite. And right now, if people did that, you could literally be sitting here right now with a winning proposition, which, you know, depending on how much you bet, is profit. Yeah, and it sets up for a pretty good opportunity if you do that. But obviously, we can't go back in time.
But no, but you know what? It's funny you say that because you're right. And McInnes, what he's saying is if you took the Atlanta Braves to do this, you need to take the dog right first.
Yes.
You need to take the underdog first in these series and then pray that they win the first game. And then you're really, like, in a good spot. Because like McInnes just said, imagine, guys, And, you know, and it's all about unit size. But if you're comfortable, everyone has a different approach to betting. But just imagine, guys, let's just say you put $1,000 down on the Braves to win the World Series. All right. You know, you won some money on the Braves in the playoffs. You dropped $1,000 for them to win. They were plus 125. Right. So you're going to get 2250 back. Well, they just won game one. You could turn around right now. You could get the Houston Astros at plus 135. You know what I mean? You put another $1,000 down, boom, you just guaranteed yourself a profit. Stock market, guys, if you did that and you worked for Goldman Sachs, you'd get a raise, McInnes. If you could multiply people's money like that, that easily, where it's like, hey, I just made you a profit just like that. Just all we got to do is take this other side now. I just made you money. Right?
Definitely.
Like and if you were a volume
Gabe,
better, yeah.
I'm telling you, Gabe, too, there's websites out there that you can get access to doing this, and I've been looking more into doing this a little bit. And I haven't always been kind of a math guy like this, but looking at just all kinds of different websites, DraftKings, you know, FanDuel, all these different ones you can mention, and all across the board, you can find a different price at different places, right? And that's what I think is cool is that there's actually opportunities where at one shop, you can find a plus price on the exact same bet, and at the other shop, you know, a plus price on the other side. It's unbelievable. I know people that used to do it with esports. They would find out two different books. One team is plus price and one team's plus price the other way, and they're literally guaranteeing themselves, you know, profit. You know, some of us
that is a good point. With so many books available, there will be different lines. You're right. And you know what, McKenzie? The classic example of that is tonight with hockey, because you just mentioned. You had 5.5 in that game, right? You said 5.5.
Yes.
In the because you know what? FanDuel had 5. Where'd you bet that game? What book did you bet that game?
Pinnacle.
All right, so Pinnacle. So they had a 5.5 because it was amazing. Bet3, FanDuel had a 5.5 for the Canuck game too. Yet Bet365 had a 6, which was weird, and. I was able to get 6.5 for minus 155. So I was just surprised, like there was 5.5, and you know there was such a discrepancy with that. But I'm going to tell you, McKiss, I've noticed hockey is the biggest one, and you're a big hockey guy, bro. I think it would behoove you to get as many of those accounts as you can, bro. Because I swear to God, I'm seeing like totals, man, like that are sometimes a goal difference, McInnes. Like, sometimes some of these books have 5.5, and the other guys, like, it'll be juice sometimes, but it's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? It's the only sport where I see this, where the numbers really are different at the different books. NHL hockey.
And I'm not the kind of guy to ever do this and kind of call somebody out, but I'll tell you, Gabe, you know, lately online, I've been seeing people post, you know, I'm on this team, minus 125, and I'm currently looking at my screen and seeing a minus 150. And I'm like, dude, where the hell are you seeing that? You know, and there's just so many books
Yeah, I know.
Maybe they actually are seeing a minus 125.
Nah, but you know what I hate, though, when cappers do that? Like, you'll see it on websites and stuff, and it'll be like, they'll post the line at whatever book is the lowest line.
Exactly.
It's like you don't have an account at that book in Korea, man. You know what I mean? Like they have some book in Ireland. It's like, Paddy Power's got it at this. It's like, yeah, well, that's good for people in Dublin. That doesn't help me. Like, I hate that. Like,
you know
what I mean?
Me too.
Me it's like, too. Shut up. We know what the real number is. More McInnes on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. McInnes, wager talk in the house with us. So, McInnes, I don't know what sport you want to get into. Taking a look at the overnight NHL games. Tomorrow's card. Boston at Florida. man, the Florida Panthers, they had a great preseason. They're a dangerous team, and I've been betting on them. I took them last night minus a puck and a half. They got the empty netter late, so they get Boston. This should be a good game. Boston and Florida. Florida are small favorites. Detroit at Washington. You know, one prop I've been leaving on the table. I haven't bet this yet this year because I'm an idiot, and I've been caught up in baseball and, you know, football and everything. But Ovechkin seems to score every night, McInnes. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. It seems like he's scoring multiple goals. It used to be like, oh, he's going to catch Gretzky. It's not even a debate anymore. He's going to do it fast. He's killing it this year. He's killing it. I mean, why won't he score tomorrow?
I can't believe it was even a debate ever. You know, it was a huge hot topic. This guy could have 12 Heinekens night before a game and end up scoring a hat trick. This guy literally
he could have 12 Heinekens in the room before the game.
I've actually heard stories of you know, I'm pretty sure that night that he scored his 2000th goal or 1000th goal, he was, you know, having a good night beforehand. This, like you said, this guy could literally show up to the game a minute before and walk on there and score two goals. I like it, Gabe. And the funny thing is, I want to bring it up. It's kind of like touchdown scores. And I'll get your thoughts on this in the NFL. But I literally, with NHL goal scores, don't care about the price. I'm not saying I'll lay a huge, you know, minus 140 on a guy to score. We won't get that. Last year in the playoffs or prior to the playoffs, I was betting like minus 110s, minus 115s with McKinnon to score a goal. If I don't see McDavid score a goal for two or three games, I'm taking him at a pick'em price to score a goal. And chances are in that game, McDavid's probably, you know, the Oilers are probably minus 140, and we're getting McDavid to score a goal minus 110. What are you choosing if you haven't seen him score in a couple of games, you know? So I'm with you. I think it's a great, great bet.
Yeah, I left Austin Matthews on the table last night. I saw somebody on Twitter tweeting about taking Austin Matthews at like plus 130 to score a goal, and he did like right away into the game. I do like the touchdown props too. And, you know, unless it's like minus 220 or something like that, or like, you know, 180 sort of is my cutoff, I'm going to take it. It was crazy because on Sunday NFL, I went 6-0 with touchdown props. 6-0. I took six guys to score touchdowns on Sunday, and they all did. And, man, Mo Ali Cox was 5-1. He was plus 500. I didn't just do like the obvious ones. Elijah Mitchell was plus 190. The touchdown props are good. I don't dip into the goal scoring ones enough. Like, you know, we were talking about the home run props tonight. I like the total base prop. I'm a big fan of the total bases in baseball, and I do well with that. But the goal scoring ones, I got to get into more. And like I said, just with Ovechkin, I mean, he's just so consistent. He's on the war path. He's going to score. And if he doesn't, he's, you know what I mean? Like McKenna said, if he doesn't score for a couple of games, then you start hammering it, right? Then you start hammering it because he no doubt will, because he's that damn good. And it's going to be crazy, but somebody is going to pass Wayne Gretzky. So Boston at Florida, Detroit at Washington, Toronto Maple Leafs struggling. And speaking of struggling, so it's the Leafs at the Blackhawks, and I got to be honest, because I follow everything and I'm on top of everything in the sports world. This is one story I'm not on top of. The Chicago Blackhawks. It's been lingering for a couple of years, and there was sexual abuse or assault of the players, or I don't know. I never really got into the story. I never really dove in, but it seems like it all came to a conclusion today. Stan Bowman stepped down, and I don't know. It seems like not much, like, you know, not much else going to happen. A slap on the wrist. I saw people like talking
they
about how
they cut $2 million, but that's,
yeah,
you know,
did they lose any draft picks?
That's what I'm saying. No,
no. I saw someone tweet out about how the Coyotes got, you know, lost draft picks for like doing something like that was like, what did they do? They messed with something. They violated some draft rule or something, and they got screwed. Was it tampering? Whatever. They lost draft picks. And so you sexually abuse people and you don't, but that's the way it's always been in sport, right? SMU, the football team, got the death penalty, guys, by everybody in the NCAA in the 80s for, ooh, God forbid, giving fur coats and cars to players. Yet Penn State diddled kids and they missed a bowl game for 1 year. You know, it's funny how that works.
This isn't the end of what happened tonight. You know, Coach Q, he might be done. And that's what's crazy. I mean, these people, they're
Wasn't Mark Bergevin there too, though?
Mark Bergevin's name was cleared. They did. I think it was 22 or 25 interviews. Yeah, Mark Bergevin's name was cleared as he wasn't in the boardroom or in a part
didn't
of any
know.
Of those
he
meetings.
Didn't know.
Yeah. So yeah, it took like 25 interviews to find.
Good
that
for
out.
Him.
Yeah,
so that's. I'm glad that that's. The, yeah. At least we know he wasn't involved with that. Good.
But Coach Q is coaching Florida. Obviously, they're having an unbelievable season, Gabe. Right. And people aren't just calling for the heads of current Blackhawk management.
They want his head.
Kevin Cheveldayoff. He's the GM for the Winnipeg
the Jets.
Like anybody that was associated with this is potentially going to be removed from hockey, which is crazy.
Will they, though? I know people are going to say that and they're going to want it, but you know how hockey is, right? You know how hockey is. I see Elliot Friedman coming on TV tonight looking all serious with a serious face. It's like, bro, you knew about this for years. You know what I mean? Now you're acting all shocked, right? Like, so what happened anyways, McKinnis? Do you know? Like without getting too graphic, so, like, what happened? Like, what happened there in Chicago? What is the allegations? Were like, a player was sexually abused by a coach? Or, like, what happened?
Gabe, honestly, I'm not clear enough on the story that I'd feel comfortable, speaking about it, really. All I really know is that, you know, there was some sexual misconduct that took
place. This is why, though, McKinnis, we're guilty. You and I are guilty, all of us in the hockey world, because we don't want to know about it. Because, right? Oh, I don't know.
I tried to follow it today, Gabe. Honestly, I tried to follow it. But I think the people that really, the people that know about the story today are the people that knew about it 5-6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone's known for years. Exactly. And they didn't even want to do anything until it became public. Like, really? So let me just see. All right. I want to be honest
with you, right? I'm not going to pretend that I know more about it. You know, I just honestly, I don't feel comfortable really giving information.
All right. Here we go. So a law firm was hired by the Blackhawks this summer to conduct an investigation after two lawsuits were filed against the team for not properly reviewing complaints against... one of their, so Brad Ulrich, video coach.
Yeah.
Sexual allegations, general manager was made aware, shoveled off was made aware, blah, 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 did nothing about it. All right. Because they were about to win the Stanley Cup. The policy had a term for sexual harassment to be investigated promptly, blah, blah, blah. Law firm was hired by the Blackhawks investigation. All right. One lawsuit filed by a former Blackhawk player said that the video coach committed sexual acts on him after video coach threatened to ruin his career. The other was filed by a high school hockey player who came into contact with the video coach. According to the report, he met with the club's HR director, was offered the option to undergo an investigation. He chose to resign. Yeah, that's not very good. The Blackhawks.
The crazy part is that all these guys knew about it, right? It was like a kept secret, pretty much.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That this is where it's pretty damning here. Like, I didn't know. Like I said, that now I'm seeing this. It's only really coming out now, according to the report. So, basically, the Blackhawks said, "So listen, we know that you're abusing people. So you have a choice. You can resign, or we'll have an investigation." What the hell is that? It should have been, you're fired, and we called the cops. You know what I mean?
Not
like, seriously.
You know, we won't do anything.
Yeah, not like, hey, listen, you got a choice. Like, what do you mean you got a choice? No, it's like, pack up your bags, and oh, by the way, we called the police and told them everything. And
exactly,
expect a call from the cops, right? Like, we call the cops on you. You assaulted people in our building, right? So, and then, oh, my God, this is nuts. He signed a deal with the Blackhawks. He got severance pay, a playoff bonus, and his name engraved on the Stanley Cup, McKinnis. Well,
that's why it's a disgrace for the Blackhawks, right? That's why Blackhawk God. Fans are
his name is
right
on
now,
the
yeah.
Stanley Cup. My
yes.
God. Yeah. You got to take his name off the cup. You got to take this guy's name off the cup, man. I don't know if anyone's brought that up. I want this guy's name off the cup. Video coach, some molester video coach. And I don't want to sound, I don't want
to
be that guy. I don't
want to
be that guy and stuff, but
yeah,
you know what?
I want them to have the banner.
No hockey. Listen, I played hockey. No coaches touching me, man. You're a hockey player. You got a hockey stick. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Hit the guy over the face with it. It's pretty simple. Like I said, I'm not judging. You know what I mean? It's just when I hear these stories, I'm like, well, what do you mean? How did a video coach, like, do? You're an NHL player. What the hell is going on here? Like, that's crazy, though, that his name is on the damn cup, man.
Yeah.
Wow. So Jimmy Murphy wants what? The banner taken down? You can't take the banner down.
I know, but
Stanley Cup still exists.
That's what I was thinking. The Stanley Cup still exists. The players that were playing still won the ring.
Jonathan Toews didn't do anything.
Exactly. But I think he's just erupt mostly about the fact that the people that knew about it and it was a kept secret. I think that's mainly his point he's making, is that the management shouldn't be able to get the credit for that cup. The players won it, but those guys shouldn't be able to have that accolade behind their name based off of the actions they committed.
Well, what can you do? Nothing about that. I mean, you could fire them. Like,
hey, it's not my
tweet. I don't understand this, though, McKinnis. It was the same thing. We were talking about Michigan and Michigan State, the football game. And if you remember, so Larry Nassar, the pervert doctor there, the gymnast doctor and the doctor, he was at Michigan State. And Michigan State knew McKinnis. So it's the same thing. Like, Penn State knew. Like, you know what I mean? Paterno, and they knew about whatever, Sandusky and stuff. I don't understand why they cover it up. You know what I mean? Like, because it makes you look bad. Like, I don't understand that. Like, basically, like, you're not guilty of anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, you're like, oh, my God, our video coach. We're calling the cops immediately. And we're not covering anything up. No. And whatever. I'll have a press conference and say, dear God, this guy was video coordinator for 8 years. I had no idea he was like this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't understand why they all go into cover-up mode all the time. Like, it just, like, so what else are you guys covering up? Like, you know, Michigan State spent like $500 million covering it up, and they got caught anyways in the end. So it's like, same with Chicago.
They're sacrificing a small little, you know, a little bit of trouble in the short term.
Yes.
Absolute hell.
That's a good way of putting it. It's a good way of putting it. Yeah. We don't want to be in the paper tomorrow, so let's deal with it in 4 years when we all get fired.
100 times worse in 5 years.
What do you think? Well, Quenneville, you can't blame Quenneville. He's just the coach. Quenneville has nothing to do with a video coordinator.
But, Gabe, to your point that you just made, I mean, realistically, I mean, if I told you a secret right now, you know, something that was bad that I have done, it might be on you to tell somebody. You know what I mean?
If you told me that you robbed a bank this week, I would not turn you in. If you told me that you were sexually assaulting people, I would turn you in.
Well, that's the point made right there.
And you could do the same to me. I'd be mad if you said, hey, Morency's smoking weed. But I'm over McKinnis on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. You know the thing with hockey is, they're not bad people, the hockey people, but they're sort of like me and McKinnis just were. Sort of like, think about like your grandpa. That's what like hockey is, sort of like, they know bad things are happening, but they don't want to know about it. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, wow. Like, it's like, let's just look the other way. Sort of like Joe Paterno. Like, they're so shocked. I'm just going to worry about the football game. Right? And we look the other way. But I'm now, and people in our chat are pretty well versed in hockey stuff. And our boy Nick is in Chicago. Now I'm also seeing there's a lot of hazing stuff going on in their minor league system, which is another thing I don't understand. I played hockey. All right, I played pretty high-level hockey, and my grandfather played in the NHL and stuff, and nobody ever tried to anally probe me with a hockey stick. What is it with you kids, man? Like, what is it with this modern hockey stuff with you guys and hockey sticks and sexual deviant acts, man? You're twisted people. I swear to God, bro, any hockey team that I need to get into a crowded bathroom or shower with six other naked dudes and get hazed with hockey sticks, I don't want to play on that team. I don't want to be on your team. Like, you know what I'm saying? What the hell's wrong with these people? I know, McCann, you know junior players and stuff. I'm sure you know some hazing stories. Like, it's the twisted people, these people. I don't understand it. I totally get you're going. We're going to the bar and we're getting drunk and you're paying. You know what I mean? You're carrying the bags. You're doing this. You're doing that. That's all fine, man. But, dude, it's rape. These kids, it's rape, McKinnis.
Gabe, I wouldn't even want to tell you some of the stories I've heard in the QMJHL. Wouldn't want to say it on air.
You couldn't say it on air. We couldn't. Just imagine. I think I described it well enough. They're not playing hockey with the sticks, guys. All right, hold on, McKiss. We'll get you out in like 5 minutes. Think of a hockey pick or two for tomorrow on the way out for us. Bring it.
Sounds good.
Lost it.